Hi everyone, welcome to the Laura Horn Art Podcast. Thank you for joining us for episode number 101. This week we are talking about how important it is to play the long game in your creative business and to not fall into the trap of chasing quick wins and instant gratification. Easier said than done, huh? It's one of those kind of things. Yeah. But this week we are going to chat about it and share our own experience of this and some of the areas where we have played the long game and I guess other times where we've got caught up in chasing quick wins and approval and all of that.
Yeah, I just didn't even know what to do, you know?
What I hope for this conversation is that it's very practical, that it provides you with some ideas of how you can make sure that you're doing the things that are going to help your business in the long term to be sustainable and to grow over time. But before we get into it, I have a podcast review to share. And this comes from Susan McCreevy Artist via Apple Podcasts in Great Britain. My favourite podcast. I was introduced to this podcast by Ivy Newport as she was interviewed by Laura. I'm a member of Ivy's Studio Works Creative Academy and Business Academy. I had never listened to a podcast before this one. I had a light bulb moment and have since binged on every episode and tell all my friends about you and Richie. I resonated so much with the Phoebe Gander interview as I studied textile design, had a tough time with my young kids as I was a single mum, and have only recently found my creative life again. As an emerging artist, all your tips and advice have been invaluable. I was having trouble with my mailing list, so I reached out to three of the artists that you interviewed for help, and every one of them replied. I can't explain how helpful you've been to me, Laura and Richie. I just adore you guys. Thank you so much. Keep doing what you do, please. Oh, that's so, there's so many good things in that review.
But that embodies this entire, the reason for doing this podcast. Like, that's it.
I know, that's what I mean, because I loved hearing how Susan got back into making art, but also how she reached out to those other artists and is building her community, her creative community. That's brilliant. That's all that we've ever hoped for with this. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Absolutely blown away. Thank you very much.
So on that positive note, let's move on into our conversation today, which is about playing the long game. And we had a bit of a chat before we started recording about some examples of, I guess, a short game versus a long game strategy in the art biz world. So I'm going to run through our list and then we can kind of chat and muse on what comes up. So here we go. Posting every day on Instagram for a month and then giving up versus having a sustainable strategy. So I think we've all been there where we've got very enthusiastic and excited about anything, really. You know, it happens with going to the gym, it happens with cooking, and it happens in an art business where you're like, right, this is my time to shine on Instagram.
I'm going to show the world.
And you go all in with gusto, but it's not sustainable over the long term. So you might do 30 days or 2 weeks, and then you're just like, you know what, I'm done. And then you're out, and you're yesterday's news, effectively. So with a strategy like this, it's not going to have a very profound impact on your business. It's going to have that sort of quick win. You'll get some likes and comments and things, but it won't necessarily build a long-term audience or community. A 30-day challenge or something like that can be a good way to kind of get the ball rolling. But I think when you do something like that, you need to also think about, what will I do afterwards? How would that lead me into the long-term plan? So you could go from posting every day for 30 days to then 2 to 3 times a week. So that's the important piece of it, making sure that you are heading towards that sustainable long-term plan. And for everyone, that will be different. I've just pulled 2 to 3 times a week, you know, as an option, because that's, to me, that's something that's quite workable. And it's similar to the way that we post on Instagram. And, you know, you can still take a bit of a break if you need to. That's not what this is about. This isn't about, like, you know, you have to do the thing every week. And it's not about that, but it's about having these kind of gentle rhythms that are something that you can stick with over the longer term and that you can have a bit of flexibility with it. You can take a break, but that you then come back.
Yeah, and that's not to say that you don't have a month every now and then where you do a really big Instagram push, you know, for followers or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you can still do that, but you can't do it
forever.
Forever. No, yeah. It'll kill you.
And that's important to recognize when you're making decisions for your business. What can you do for a long-term period?
Yeah, because if you're concentrating on an Instagram push, I can tell you right now, you will be doing nothing else but that Instagram push.
Yeah, because we did it a while ago. We actually did a 30 days or something like that where we really pushed our Instagram and it works, but we were exhausted afterwards and other things definitely fell by the wayside. Another example is dusting off your blog once a year versus writing a regular weekly or monthly newsletter to your audience. Often you think about dusting off your blog or writing something and it's kind of ad hoc versus doing something where you are continually engaging with your audience. So the long-term plan of using your newsletter list to regularly make connections is such a brilliant one for any creative business. And it could be a weekly blog, podcast, vlog. There's all different ways that you can communicate with your audience, but having something that you can do consistently is the way to go rather than every now and then just dusting something off.
Now you said you said consistently. Once a week, it doesn't need to be once a week. Consistency can be once a month.
Yeah.
You know, I used to think that being consistent was daily, you know, but it's not. It's not at all. It's every second week. It's every month. Consistent, consistent, consistent.
Yeah, so you've got to think about what else you have on and what's going to work. And if the thought of writing a weekly newsletter is just, no, I never have time for that, well then go for monthly. So another example I have here is putting all of your energy into social media versus using social media, but also focusing in on your website.
This is a real hard one because working on your website is so lonely because no one sees it.
Initially,
yeah, that's what I mean.
That's why I put the website into the long game strategy because it takes time to build up traffic to your website and social media is a very valuable tool for that. But yeah, it can feel a little bit lonely. Like, is anyone out there? Has anyone even come to my corner of cyberspace? But you know what? If you are using these long game strategies that we are talking about in this podcast, they actually all work together. So if you start putting out regular content, you start working on your website, you start using social media in a more strategic way, maybe two or three times a week, pointing people over to your website, they all start to work together. And that has certainly been our experience. And I have seen our newsletter list grow from about 30 people to, I'm not even sure how many are on it now.
Thousands.
But thousands. And the same with the Instagram, same with the website traffic numbers. But you've got to start somewhere. These things all go hand in hand. Another one is selling sporadically on Instagram versus setting up an online shop and planning out regular collections. So this is similar to your website, but with a slightly different angle on it. And actually taking the time to set up a place where you sell your art and thinking about putting together regular collections, marketing your work, and having more of a, I guess strategic is the word, approach to it all rather than just selling work here, there, and, you know, in response to other people maybe saying, oh, I'd like to buy that, but being more proactive about it by actually putting together your collections and marketing them in that way. So there's a bit of a difference and a shift that you kind of need to make in order to get into that long-term strategy of selling your work. And it makes it a lot easier for the customer because on Instagram, it can be a bit tricky sometimes to know what's available and what's not. And you've got to go through all the posts to see which ones are actually for sale. Whereas if you can use Instagram and then have the website is supporting your Instagram, they actually can go over and then view everything there and have a very clear picture of what it is that you have available, the sizes, the prices, the photographs, they can work together and support each other.
Yeah. And now your long-term strategy is complementing your short-term. So Instagram is talking to your website. Yeah. Your website is reverting back to your Instagram.
And that's what this is all about. And the last one that I have here is going out and getting a studio with all the stuff versus using what you already have available to you and then slowly getting what you need. Yeah. Rather than, you know, going out with that sort of, again, it's that sort of instant gratification, like I need to have all the things. So it's, you know, getting all the gear and the studio space and the supplies.
Look, I did it with my photography when I first started. I'd buy stuff I didn't need. I was buying macro lenses when I wasn't shooting macro photography. I was buying like super fast primes when I just didn't need them, you know. I just didn't need them, but I wanted them. And they just sat in my camera bag for years.
Yeah.
It was a total waste of money. But it's only until you get a bit better and you're a bit more confident, then you realise that, yeah, I only use what I need.
Yeah, and you can figure out what you actually need versus what you think you need, which is two different things altogether. And in a long-term strategy, you are working towards getting those, you know, investment items that are going to help your business in the long term. So that's the difference between just going out and getting all the things that you think you need at the beginning. Okay, so we've talked about some of the things that you can do in an art business that relate to the long game. So having a website, a newsletter, putting together regular collections of your art, having a steady social media strategy. But how do you actually make these things happen? What do you think is important as far as, I guess, making space for this, or what do you reckon?
What do you mean?
Well, I guess I know what I would do, which is to make sure that you have time in your creative life to actually think big, like to plan and talk about what it is you're doing and why, that we all need time to kind of dream up these ideas and plans. And we actually spend a lot of time talking about, you know, what courses we want to make, podcast episodes or guests that we want to have on the podcast, website updates and things. I don't necessarily talk to you about that, but I do have people I talk to about those sorts of things. And this planning stuff is really important, and giving yourself permission to think bigger and look at options that are beyond those quick things that you might do on a daily basis. Whereas if you think about something at the beginning and you actually have an expectation of where you're heading, then you're more likely to bring into play like processes that will support it rather than always just reacting all the time.
And it's a good habit to get into. For example, you just start painting, you take a photograph and you put it on Instagram, and then that painting gets lost somewhere, or you cut it up and use it in a collage. I think you should make sure that you have a really good photograph of that, or a scan of that image, and it's named and it's filed from the very start.
It's one of the things that I hear the most from artists when they talk about things they wish they'd done differently. They often mention documenting their art. It's one of the things that often gets neglected, taking photographs, naming your art, filing it so that you can come back to it later. Often because we never think that we're going to have hundreds and hundreds of paintings. We don't realize that that's where we're heading. And so we start with this almost, it's almost like a scarcity mindset.
Yeah.
You know, we don't actually think that we're ever going to have all this, you know, that behind us.
Or how could I ever forget this beautiful piece of art?
I'm not sure what it is, but I think having a focus on processes and systems is a very big part of all of this, and actually improvements to the outcome. So whatever it is that you're aspiring to, whether that be writing a book, putting out a podcast, creating an online course, releasing a collection, having an exhibition, all of those things rely on good processes. So sometimes what we need to do is actually focus less on the outcome and more on how are we actually doing things. Like, how are we taking our photographs? Where are we storing them? You know, how do we record the ideas that we are having? Like, where are our notebooks? Or are we an online person? Do we have a place to put all our ideas? That stuff is super important in order to make the bigger things happen.
Yes, and Instagram is not a portfolio.
I'm pretty sure I've said somewhere it is. We're at the stage in our podcast where we're like saying the opposite thing to what we said before.
What I mean is, just because your art is on Instagram doesn't mean it's documented.
Oh, I see. I know what you're saying.
Absolutely. You can direct people to your portfolio or your Instagram page.
Yeah.
But don't use Instagram to figure out when you took a photograph or when you painted a piece. You know, that should be documented on a drive, labeled.
Might have a bit of work to do.
Me too.
Like, pretty sure I go to my Instagram to figure out when I painted things and all that. But yeah, you know, good systems, it makes your life so much easier. And I think in our art business, we often allocate time. You know, we allocate time for painting, we allocate time for social media, even things like accounting, things that we know that we have to do. But do we allocate time for general improvements to the business? That's the stuff that often gets left behind. And it's one of the things that I actually chatted to Susan Nethercoat about in a conversation I had with her on the podcast. And we were talking about business improvements. And I mentioned that I often explore a topic kind of like a theme for a month, like I'll hone in on something and I'll actually make a concerted effort to improve the processes around that thing. And we did this at the beginning of the year around the podcast, where we did like a new intro for the podcast. I got a new logo made. I actually signed up for a course about podcasting. Like, I threw myself into how can we make the podcast better? And then I'll move into something else. More recently, I have been looking at Facebook advertising and how can we use that to market our online courses. And again, I go and I listen to podcasts and I watch things on YouTube and I immerse myself in that particular theme. And I think this is something that is truly important as a creative entrepreneur, that we are always learning and that we are sometimes digging into those things that aren't necessarily the things that we want to, but we know that they will be good for the business. Sometimes we do need to spend some time even improving processes for things like accounting. Like, that isn't on the fun list.
No.
But yesterday, like, I was in a panic because I thought, oh my gosh, I missed the quarterly date for our return. And then I realized I didn't. But at that point in my mind, I was like, I need a better system here. Like, yeah. I actually noticed that. Like, I noted it down and went, when I get a little bit of time, I need to do some work around the accounting because it's catching me out each quarter. I'm not prepared. There's a system improvement that needs to happen. I do that in all aspects of the business. Like, I note things. I even have a little list that I write down. Okay, when I'm going to attack this, this, this. And I just work on one at a time.
Yeah, and they're long-term strategies.
And I think that's actually something that I might have even called the list something along those lines, like long-term projects, I think I call it. And they're the things that I'm improving on, the website, online courses, podcast, all of that.
Like, when you really look at it, are you not planning long term because you don't think you'll be around?
Well, that's right. The crux of it is self-belief, like the belief that you will grow a successful creative business that will be around for a long time and it will deliver to you the kind of creative life that you want.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we're striving for. And when you hold that close, then you can do the work that's necessary, which we'll get into now, because you need to make the plans and have the lists, but then you actually need to, it's crunch time, do the work. So this is where you need to make the time for the core work that is essential for you in order to put into practice those long-term goals, like to make those long-term goals happen.
It's work.
It is work. I suppose the easiest way that I can think about this is to make sure that you are doing something towards your long-term goals every week or even every day, I would say.
Every day.
Yeah, I would say every day. Like, you're working towards those long-term goals. That's something that we have definitely done in our business to the point where we've actually been letting go of many other things that don't support our long-term goals, so that we are very focused when we come into our studio and we're working on the things that we have identified when we've been doing our planning. So this is a very important part of it. You know, what do you need to say no to in order to be able to make sure that you make that hour in the morning to write the book that you want to write, or record the podcast because you want to launch a podcast, or paint the painting because you are putting together a new collection? That is the work that you need to do, and you need to make it a priority. I feel like once you get into a habit of it, you actually just come in and do the things that you need to do, don't you? Like, I feel like we're actually pretty good at that.
I could see how easily I could fall out of this, that I could be distracted by something shiny, like a short-term project.
Yeah.
That could really have a detrimental effect to the long-term business. The last thing you want to be doing is chasing your tail. You don't want to be hit with taxes when they're due. This is something you want to have planned for.
Yeah. Well, what happened just this last month was I have a yearly planner in Trello. And what I do, I'm trying to explain this, but basically I bring over the month that we're working on from the 12-month plan into the month, my monthly planner, so I can see what the objectives are. And this month I forgot to do that until the 27th of July. I hadn't pulled over July's plan. And on that plan was the accounting deadline and stuff like that. Because of that, I then had to chase my tail because I didn't have that overarching goals for the month. It made me realize that that stuff actually works. Having a long-term plan, like a 12-month plan, which we do, and then monthly and then weekly, like that structure is really important. And on our whiteboard in our studio, we write up the weekly things. So what do we need to get done this week and only this week? And that helps us to not get overwhelmed when we have too much going on.
Yeah, well, it just goes to show you forgot to bring over the monthly plan and, you missed a massive
deadline. Because somehow I forgot that we were already in July and I still had my June goals sitting in my planner. Because this is all electronic, it's drag and drop. So I'm trying to explain it, but it's kind of hard. But one day I will record some kind of video where I actually explain how I do all the planning in Trello. Because it might be interesting to nobody.
It'd be so not interesting. It'd be worth filming it, though.
I have had requests, Richie. I've had requests for this. We want to see into Laura's Trello. Anyway, I had a Trello fail this month. So an important part of it is having the big plans and then chunking it down into smaller parts. And then we talked about being prepared to do the work and letting other things fall away. Recently, while we've been working on our online course, Modern Mixed Media, the 6-week e-course, biggest course we've ever created, we have had to do this and I have felt like many things have been slipping away from me. And that has actually made me feel like I've been failing, yeah. Like quite badly at certain aspects of life. And what I mean by that is like exercise hasn't been happening.
Diet,
you know, still been spending good quality time with the kids, but I just haven't felt like a good mum. In fact, it got so bad, like last weekend I was like, right, I'm going to bake cookies because that's what good mums do.
They were good cookies.
I know, but I was feeling really bad. Like I was feeling very unbalanced because I've been working so hard on this project. I also had this moment of realization, I can't be everything all at once. And I'm actually not that bad. Like I'm not a really bad mum just because I don't bake home-baked cookies ever. I put it back into perspective. I think sometimes we just think we can be it all the time.
And then get devastated when we realise we're not.
It helped me to go, you know what, I'm never going to be good at everything all at the same time. So right now I'm working on this project and I'm actually doing it in the most healthy way I've ever worked on a project, even though it's not that healthy when you think about drinking smoothies every day and going to the gym, kind of healthy. But compared to other courses, like I haven't pulled like a really late night. I have been sleeping really well.
Mm-hmm.
So it has actually been quite good, but it's been long, and that's the difference. And that's why we've come back to this topic today about playing the long game, because we've been working consistently quite hard for a long period of time.
But if you look at the product, if you look at that course,
yeah,
it is spectacular.
Yeah, I'm so, so proud of it. And I'm so happy that I will be able to look back and say, hey, you did it.
Yeah.
You did this big thing. And that's important to me, because that keeps me feeling motivated. If I can keep pushing out my comfort zone and taking on bigger challenges, I mean, who knows what I could do next?
Whatever you want.
And that's really powerful.
Yeah.
And it's such a good thing to role model for your children.
Yeah.
You know, that our kids see us working at this project and talking about it and saying to them, you know, we're tired, but we're going to get up and we're going to do this thing tomorrow. And then they'll say, did you do it? And I'm like, yeah, we did it. And it was good. And I feel a lot better about it, knowing that there are going to be periods in a creative life when you do have to work hard, and you'll come out of it the other end, and then you get to feel the good feeling of when you've done it.
Yeah, but that's how you grow. You don't grow without adversity.
Yeah.
You don't get better by doing easy things.
So one of the things that I wanted to talk about and actually just finish this conversation off with is, how do you stay motivated during a period of work, like a long period of work? So when you're writing a book or creating a course and you're not really getting those rewards until the end, what do you reckon? Like, what's helped you to stay motivated while working on a bigger project?
We're very lucky that the Facebook group is as good as it is. I'm just talking about Modern Mixed Media.
Yeah.
Like, you look in there and you see how happy people are. You see their work. You see how good they are. That's really motivating me.
It's funny because people don't realize, but you are behind the scenes in the Facebook group and you help out with, you know, approving people into the group and things like that. And you actually go in there and look at stuff, and I'll catch you like sitting on the couch and you'll be like, ooh, and and you'll be like, have you seen this? And
yeah,
you get super excited, which is really, it's wonderful. And I guess that's one of the ways that you stay focused, is actually looking at what the work is doing for others.
Yeah, like the perfect example. I don't run the Instagram page. I don't do the art. I'm not Laura Horn Art. But that beautiful review that you just read out at the beginning of the podcast just makes it all worthwhile. And that's what motivates me.
Well, that's actually one of the reasons why we read out the review in a way, because it grounds us. Like, it reminds us of why we actually do all the things that we do, especially when we are in a harder period of work. So we are very grateful for everyone who sends those in, because it really does help us. I love hearing the stories of how something can have a knock-on effect, like a podcast that gets listened to or a class, and then that person then goes on to do something else and meet someone else, like in the case of the review at the beginning of this podcast, that leads to chatting to another artist and getting help with their email list and all that. That is super satisfying.
She wasn't even on your website. She was on someone else's course. She heard you talk.
I know.
Came across all through the art community.
All the connections.
Oh, perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Yeah. And then as far as, I'm just trying to think what else has helped to stay motivated.
What keeps you motivated?
What keeps me motivated?
Well, you're a psycho.
I am.
So there's that.
Which is one of the reasons why being at the studio has been so good for me, because it provides some boundaries around work, and that has helped with working towards a bigger project. I think if I'd still been working from home, this whole period would have been a bit of a nightmare. That's the word that came to mind as well. So for me, what helps me is having time away from the art business. So when I get home, it's very much I'm at home and I chill and I watch a bit of Netflix and YouTube and stuff like that. And I also spend a lot of time in my garden and just having like the odd day where I just kind of switch off. And I had one of those last weekend on Saturday, I went out with our daughter. We did a bit of house hunting. We went for like lunch. We went for afternoon tea. Like, it was just like a long day of walking. We went, yeah, we went into the hills and we were walking around and exploring in like parks and places we probably weren't even meant to be. But it was a super fun day, and that is very uplifting to me, to have, even when you're very busy, to carve out some time to rest and restore your energy. So I think that's important too, like to make space for like days off so that you can then come back and then keep working and keep pushing on those longer term plans. All right then. Well, I think that's it for this week. I hope that you've enjoyed the episode and it's encouraged you to stay focused on your long-term goals and not get too distracted by all those shiny new things. I hope that you'll join us again next week.